صوم وصلاة وزكاة حج والشهادتين،
شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، إقامة الصلاة، إيتاء الزكاة، وصوم رمضان، وحج البيت من استطاع
على خمس، خمسة أركان في الدين: صوم وصلاة وزكاة حج والشهادتين،
شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، إقامة الصلاة، إيتاء الزكاة، وصوم رمضان، وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا،
شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، لا أعبد في الكون إلا الله
ورسولي للبشر هدى،
بني الإسلام على خمس، خمسة أركان في الدين: صوم وصلاة وزكاة حج والشهادتين، وأكلم ربي خمسا، أطهر بدني بصلاة، بوضوئي، بركوعي،
بخشوعي دوما ألقى،
بني الإسلام على خمس، خمسة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه ومن سن بسنة ودا بدعوته لا يوم يبعثون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we are once again thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After thanking him, we send the peace and salutation to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his entire family and the companions and the people who are following this great path. Greater listeners, as you all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to return our sitting, talk on Islam or talk about Islam. You all know the brothers, our eminent scholar who is with us in this sitting, is Sheikh Hamed Jete. Sheikh Hamed Jete need not to be much introduced into this program. As the followers of the program, they've been keenly following us. But nonetheless, I will let Sheikh Hamed to send the great salutation to the listeners and watch of this program, and then we proceed. I'll tell you what is on the table tonight. Sheikh Hamed, falyatafaddal mashkura.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على محمد رسول الرحمة الذي بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين، شاهدا ومبشرا ونظيرا ودائيا إلى الله بإذنه واستراجا منيرا، صلوات الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته وصحابته أجمعين. Brothers and sisters out there, you are welcome to join us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate and solicit his blessings and grace to be showered upon our great Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made into an incarnation a source of blessings for everything, for all creation. We supplicate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, his household, companions, and upon everybody who adheres to his principles, teachings, to his practices, understanding. We say you are welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Sheikh Hamed, alhamdulillah, we few seconds ago, I was just pondering a bit the title of this program, or the address of the program, talk on Islam or talk about Islam. It came to my mind, Islam does talk about everything in the existence. Islam does not leave nothing out. But the program tonight here can be very important and essential. I will call it the tomorrow feature, or feature of tomorrow. So come, I know in the Quranic definition, some of us have beginning to overlap a bit to be calling this name. But the name tonight, Sekhame, or the topic tonight is youth in national development or youth in societal development in Islamic perspective. The moment I was thinking about this title, it comes to mind the ayah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving us the information about the encounter of the Pharaoh and the Musa. Until the verse says, he said, no one has really accept from Musa except the youths among the Misra. He used Zuriya. In that,
this offsprings.
Offsprings. So it tells me.
Or a family.
Or a family. But this still indicated the people who are really inclined, most of the messengers, they are youth folks. Before taking any other time, in the North Celsius Academy, what is the roles of the youth in the society, especially modern time period, the national development? What is the youth can do, and what is the capability the youth have?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Once more again, thank you very much, Sheikh Bashir, for choosing that highly critical topic, which is actually an obsession anyway, but positively on the minds of every conscious Gambian specifically, and in every society where consciousness rules the day, that is, when people are conscious, there is always a priority that is allocated for this segment of social force, because the dynamism in the youths is such an important component, a driving force in the development of humanity generally. That's why it's very interesting and important, significantly, for us to at least dilate and try to treat this sensitive but very important topic, which I may say most governments tend to forget and tend to overlook or tend to neglect. So I think it has, in fact, invariably, it has become a cause for the downfall. Invariably, it is a law, a principle, that cause and effect, that has become the main cause and source of the fall of many governments whenever there is an upheaval or an uprising. As you rightly say, the Quran, or Islam as a religion, a way of life, a way of thinking, a way of looking at things, because Islam is a civilization and a culture at the same time, combined together, forming a very unique structure, you know, for man to live on this earth, for man to, demonstrate practically in every aspect of the world the essence and the significance of his presence on this earth. And for that matter, I think the youths in every society, when you just minus the youths from the statistical numbers of society, you find that you are left with only the women and the old people. So the youths are the backbone. But this segment, or this percentage of society, their significance is in trying to reawaken in them, trying to agitate, to stir in them the potentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded in them. Because they might be in a position whereby, taken by the temptations of time,
taken by the strength of the body, taken by, you know, anything that is, because at that very tender age, you know, people tend to be following people rather than ideas. So they would be taken by people because they would say, somebody is my role model. So this is very dangerous. Mm. In fact, this can lead to so many problems later on. So that's why we say youths are easily lured into doing things that are more imitative than based on constructive and educative, reasons. So they can see somebody and just imitate him. So they not even emulating.
They have that vulnerability.
In fact, that vulnerability is in the youths. So that's why it is very interesting and very important to make sure that before, that phantasmagoria or that phantom, that idea, that fleeting idea overtakes their mind, it is very important for every authority to make sure that youths are even made to be conscious of their abilities, of their capability, of their caliber, of their skills, of the possibilities that are at their disposal, for them to use them positively. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُم مِّنْ أَرْضٍ أَنْشَأَكُم مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعَمَرَكُم فِيهَا. You created, you are made, you are constructed from this earth, and you are made, in charge of the earth to reconstruct it. That is to build the earth in every aspect of the world, materially, spiritually, intellectually. Okay. Let's go to the Quran. As you rightly say, the Quran has spoken about everything. Mm-hmm. The Quran has given you all the paradigm you need, mm-hmm. all the strategies that you can lay down, all the policies that you want to use in developing society, elevating society in every aspect, at every level, and in every way you want. In fact, when you come to the youths, the Quran named them Fata al-Ghulam. Fata al-Ghulam. Well, in the Quranic, I wouldn't say the Quranic language, but I would say the Quranic eloquence. Mm-hmm. That is the Quranic rhetoric. That is articulation or assertiveness of the Quran. Mm-hmm. When you say Ghulam, because of their impulsiveness and compulsiveness, their reactive nature towards things that are outside of their reach.
Inquisitive? So,
not inquisitive, but here is compulsion, the desire to be what you want to,
energetic,
to be agile, to be energetic, you know, to be versatile. So they are called al-ghulam min ghulma, from ghilma, that is the desire to get something. Mm-hmm. But they are called fata because it is a new entity. It is something that is endowed with a new energy that is developing gradually but steadily, so that it becomes a complete and full man.
So it's
called a fata, yeah.
He has to be prepared.
It has to be prepared. That's why, in fact, you mentioned something, Musa alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the Quran, we will try to take, as a base, or a broad base, we have to take, the seven sleeping youths that were just went into the cave and slept for 300 years, was that with this, and when you convert, you know, the lunar years into the solar, it gives you 309 years. This are a very good example how youth can be able to change society.
Yes.
It is either you talk to society, telling society, you know, the culture, the tradition that you are following, and that you are a die-hard followers, it is completely insignificant. It is not amenable to change, to time, and it is susceptible to take people backward. You know, youth can just talk to society because they are people given with that power, that new energy, for them to see things clearly. Because somebody born, let's say, 50 years back, mm-hmm. that person is already contaminated mentally, psychologically, by the realities into which he found himself and living, mm-hmm. interacting, and at the end of the day, it becomes part and parcel of his own entity and existence. He sees everything through that eye. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the youth, before they are contaminated by the backward mentality mm-hmm. of their time, we can make sure that we lay a strategy to change them. And this is why Ashabul Kahf, the youth, this is why they were, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named it Kahf. Kahf is a cave.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine a mountain with a cave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go into a cave, the mountain symbolizes that defensive mechanism, that nothing will penetrate and nothing will just go against it. Because when you knock it, it knocks you down.
The symbol of strength.
The symbol of strength. And inside the cave, the youths were there with their dog. You know, you see the loyalty of a dog to humanity or to human beings. Allah is demonstrating that, okay, as long as a dog is ready to sleep for 300 years with the owners while they are inside, why can't you as a human being at least think for a minute that you should be very much loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One. And the youths are there. Let me come to you. Here, the youths, actually, there was a time when in Rome, because the Roman Empire, we don't know exactly geographically. These things have nothing to do with geographic locations. These are entirely spiritual, educative, intellectual, edifying, you know, lessons that the Quran has presented with a general, understanding. You cannot specify them. You cannot say the location was here, because if that happens, you are going to localize the Quran, and the Quran is more universal than even the universe itself. So for that matter, the only thing we can do is we say, okay, this is a lesson. Those youths, they want to change the perception, the understanding of existence, the meaning. But their society was a rebellious society. You know, man was worshipping man. Man enslaved man because of his ignorance, fear, and his needs and desire. So man was in that position to oppress man, torment man, and torture man. But those youths were so much brave, they rebelled against the established principle and the establishment of the culture that was then prevalent in this society. So they rebelled against it with that conscious mind that Allah is going to protect us, and they escaped and went into the cave. Allahu Akbar. So youths are here. This is a symbol, symbolically interpreted. The youths are the backbones of the spiritual power, the what they call the bastion, the spiritual bastion of every society. When youths are morally deviated, when they are spiritually decadent, when youths are energetically useless, you find that the society is a dead society.
No future.
No future, because they are the backbone. Without a spinal cord, human beings can't just be human beings, because they cannot walk and they will die in pain. So for that matter, and there will be no coordination between the brain center and the other parts of the body, because every signal comes through the spinal cord. So for that matter, the youths are the backbone. So they connect yesterday to today. Because yesterday was there, the culture of the civilization through the youths, they can just transmit it. This is why it is very interesting here for youths to know that whenever there is a deviation, there is a default, there is an aberration of yesterday, and they are not able to transmit the good of yesterday to tomorrow, there is an intergenerational injustice.
SubhanAllah.
This is a serious matter. So, okay, those youths are one example. The best example here, well, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, as you say, what is known, you don't need to just tell people what it is. But, you know, it's very tragic and it's a very sorrowful situation. Most Muslims don't even know the youthful contribution of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the development of humanity, not only Islam, but humanity at large. But, okay, let's go to the other point in the Quran. Let's go to Moses alayhi salam in terms of trying to protect a weak party against, a tormentator, a dictator. Moses was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. Moses more or less was regarded as a son of a king, the most powerful king then. You understand? One day Moses just clandestinely, he went from the state house. That's why Wajaa, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Min Aqsal Madina, from the highest level in the town, not the farthest distance, but the highest place. Because state house in every country is the highest house. So Moses came from there and entered the town clandestinely, because he was Allah has prepared him to be a prophet. He is prepared to carry the burden of prophethood. And he is prepared to redeem his people. And that redemption is applicable universally to everybody. The first universal revolution, changing bad and evil, changing bad, evil, and wickedness was done through Moses as an instrument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anybody who should tell you this religion is dumb, this religion is a lackluster or lackadaisical religion, you know, that person is just fooling himself. It's the most revolutionary religion that has ever been revealed to man. Islam says, look, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَمَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْ. Change. So change is a principle of Islam, from worse to good, from wickedness to righteousness. But some people, because of their slumber and their indoctrinated backward methodological, psychological, pre-programmed education, telling us that no, you have to just fold your hand as long as the ruler is not doing anything against your prayers or against your fasting. What a backward mentality. Islam is not the religion. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَل لَّنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَل لَّنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ نَصِيرًا. A very clear and a very powerful verse that incites every conscious mind, every good mind, to change the situation of the poor and the weak and the weak and the women and the kids or the children. So for that matter, let's go to Moses. Moses clandestinely went into the town, but surprisingly he found an Israelite with a Jew, an Egyptian soldier, probably a powerful man. You know, they were just fighting. You know, his own person, his own people, asked him to solicit his assistance against the Egyptian. But, you know, as an accident, that is a predetermined program that Allah has set, so that, because being the king, the adopted son of Pharaoh, Moses could not leave Egypt until and unless, something called murder case happened against him. That's the only cause. So that's why when that happened, actually, Moses went to his Swiss school. But out of that, in the process, Moses pushed and just gave him a very sweet blow. The man fell down and died. So that became the cause why Moses went to Midian. So this here, this very simple incident, though tragically, but it is a providential program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed it that way, because Moses couldn't have gone without the cause of killing somebody, Egyptian, the punishment of which was banishment, and secondly, it was murder equally, inequity. So for that matter, Moses here demonstrated something. Whenever you see something in evil in society, you know, the strong exercising power against the weak, it is the youth who are going to stand and tell the powerful guy, look, stop. If you don't stop, we're going to kill you. Not killing physically, but we're going to tell you that this is your limit. You don't have to transgress against the weak, the poor, the women, the kids. You don't have to do it. So the youths are sort of a social policeman that are just supervising the entire system of society. One. Okay, let's go to Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, one of the greatest managers that has ever lived.
Economically,
even resource management, not only in the financial aspect or sense of the present day, but that guy was just a great man. Look at the tribulations and the trepidations and the challenges that he went through. Every youth should understand that from your youthful age, the age of nine years, you should make sure that you develop your own independent vision. That's why a society without good old people, without old people who are good, conscious, righteous, that society can never deliver and bear a good generation that will develop and redeem the society. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he saw the vision in a sleep and narrated the vision as it happened to his father, the father was such a great man, he was a prophet. Conscious. And the only thing the father could have done to the child is to develop in him that high sense of responsibility, that vision, that one day you will be something, and that something must come despite the odds that are going to face you in life. وَكَذَلِكَ يَتَّبِيكَ رَبُّكَ يُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ. Unlike that, Allah is going to choose and select you, and Allah is going to taught you how you're going to interpret the actions in a dream or in any dream. Look, the child has developed that sense that Allah, there is a destiny for him, and that destiny is going to be a great man. As at that youthful age, that tender age of 9 years or 12 years, to be very precise, from here, you know, this man started moving until he became a governor in Egypt. But in Egypt, in the prison, what was the rule? Telling the youth that even in prison, you can develop yourself. Even in prison is a school. Because when you go inside prison, you come out, not because you are culpable, you are wrong. Even if you are wrong, but you go into prison, you reform yourself, you come out, knowing fully well what was the cause of people going to prison, you make sure that you come into society and become a reformist. You understand? So here Yusuf is teaching the youth that, I mean, everybody can be everything at the same time. He was a prophet, he was a governor, he was a messenger, and he was an interpreter of the actions of men, and he was a manager. So this is a very good example for youth to copy, so that they are the backbone of society in managing our resources, not destroying and just wasting their youthful energy in things that are just vain. Because vain glory never bears anything except destruction.
A vain glory.
Glory. That is, you know, you just do something for people to say, oh, here he is. But at the end of the day, there is nothing that is beneficial out of it. Okay. From there, as time is against us, let me go to the third point. Mm-hmm. From Yusuf alayhi salam, let's go to the other point. Because we say the youths of the cave. Mm-hmm. Then we come to Yusuf. Mm-hmm. Then Moses. Mm-hmm. And who are the other youths that we're going to take as an example from the Quran? And just emulate them, you know, to demonstrate. This is the first part of the program, because we will be dilating more, you know, specifically, because we are just generalizing.
Yes.
But the point is here, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when before he was prepared to carry this heavy burden, a burden which is equal to a mountain, if the Quran had been descended on a mountain, it would have been pulverized completely into a mere dust. And that man carried that burden. ولو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. And this man carried the burden, completed and accomplished the project. And he said, Washhad, you bear witness that I have done it. And people say, we bear witness that you did it. And we are bearing the same witness.
That's right.
The only person who successfully completed the mission and built a nation, and the project is completed. So that man has given you everything. Salawatullah alayhi wa sallam. So for that matter, look at his youthful age. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no time when he was a youth. You know, he doesn't go into frivolities. His energy was conserved for a bigger purpose, a mission in life. So he never engaged even in the frivolities of the youth of his time. He spent most of his time in the mountains meditating, reflecting, pondering on the power and the manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about our youth today when you compare it to that? Most of the youths are just useless. Well, sorry to say it, but society created the conducive negative environment for the youth to be completely negative. Because society has not built any base for the society, for the youth, for them to move upward. Elevation for them to move upward is not there. Society knows what? Society built this bad criteria of measuring the quality and the quantity of man by what he has. The material possession, the position he controls, the how many cars he has, the beautiful buildings he has. All these are facilities and amenities which are very much prerequisites for the facilitation of a good life in this world. And Islam accepted, but on condition it came through a very righteous and a rightful profession or a means.
The worst but part of we became a consumer.
Exactly.
That we don't produce.
This is it. But our youth, look at it. You know, we don't even train them to be skilled people. We don't even develop their mental capacity. You know, we just teach them in school with that grade 12 certificate, with that bachelor's degree from a university, without any preparation psychologically, spiritually, to take the challenges of this world, because this world can never come easily to you for you to be successful. You have to do something. You have to go beyond the level, the normal. You must be abnormal, a bizarre person, for you to be somebody in this world. Otherwise, nothing. Mm-hmm. So this is why actually we need to build that foundation for the youths. The foundation is what?
Mm.
The youths have been them. We must build in them that, look, this world is where you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed you here. You have to develop a curiosity for this world. You have to have the yearning and the desire to develop and change your condition. You have to develop yourself spiritually, materially, mentally, in every aspect, every day. And we make sure that we just incite the youths to go into searching for the truth. And to make sure that it is the fact that is always the same, but your understanding and attitude towards the fact is always changing. If this three principle is properly given to the youths, it is the Quranic methodology that we are inculcating in their mind. We create people of great grandeur, people of great achievement, people of great vision. But unfortunately, I heard Where are the institutions? Where are the minds? Where are the elders? Where are the environments? Where are the all the necessary things that are supposed to be in place for us to beg people like Yusuf alayhi salam, for us to create youth like the seven sleeping youth in the cave, for us to create youth like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, for us to create youth like Moses against injustice, against transgression, against everything that is wicked. Look at Yusuf inside the prison. He was able to disseminate the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was able, in fact, to control the affairs of the state while he's in prison. Look at that. What a wonderful lesson that we can learn from there. So this is the little art of the many.
How did they build the base to have this consciousness?
You see, the consciousness can be gleaned out of that very reality called the Quran one, number one. Number two, it is in fact very natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha la tabdila li khalqi Allah." Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 20 or 28.
How do you protect that fitra?
That fitra, you develop the fitra, because
how
the fitra.
How do you protect it?
Well, the fitra can be protected based on the guidance of the Quran, based on good culture, based on good civilization,
environment,
because when an environment is contaminated, polluted by decay and very nasty things, obviously it is very difficult for you to insulate the youth from falling victims to the temptations of time. You know, you can't accept to tell me that, okay, in a toilet that I should not smell something bad. You cannot tell me that. That's impossible. So that's why if society, the elder, if they are not doing their duties, responsibilities, and this is the problem, this is the plague, and this is what we are doing here, we are committing a collective crime against ourselves and against the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where are we? Where do we stand in the scheme of things? Who are you and who am I? This is our problem. So the youth have no hope. The youth are in a state of wretchedness and despair because the examples are not set for them. That's why whatever they are seeing, they see it negatively. They see that there is a rat race. There is a deadly struggle. I must be the first or I will never be the last. They will just go on the high sea. They will die because society says if you don't have money, no matter which way you get it, if you don't have the money, you are not important in society. So society has created a suicidal mission for the youth, and the youth must be well conscious that, you know, they are the backbone of this Gambian society, of the Muslim community. Their absence is dead for the society, and their presence and active participation, it is that development that we are yearning for, and it is the spiritual upliftment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washabun nasha'a fi ta'atillah. Allah says the day there will be judgment, the son will very much, among the seven people who are to be under the grace and the blessings and the umbrella of Allah is a youth that is, brought up or reared under, you know, to be a follower of a religion, true principles, true cultures, true civilization, good manners, good behavior. He becomes a paragon and a rectitude and a virtue at the same time, an incarnation. So this is what we can see about the youth. So this is just a broad an introduction. Inshallah, we can specify each of these next Thursday, inshallah, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed, can this youth,
alhamdulillah,
can this youth be having the selfish mind, thinking whatever I will, I need to be benefiting that, I don't care who else is coming after me. In fact, they will not found nothing here. All these youths are the builders, the others to benefit.
Yeah, you see, thank you very much. You know, this is a very, very important question. Because, you know, the youths, as if they are rebels against the system, and they are now negatively rejecting, not at least if at all there is an accommodation, but they are rejecting the realities of their day. You know why? Because I think the generation that they are living with, execute its duty properly by transmitting the virtues of yesterday to them. So they are seeing the elders as the victims, as the perpetrators of the crime. There is a disconnection between the youths and yesterday. Because the elders are responsible, they are not doing, they are, they, in fact, they have failed. So that's why, in order for the youth to be conscious, for us to help them, for them to recover, for them to rediscover their potentials, those elders have to come back and tell the youth, okay, this was the mistake, this was the error, this was where there was a disconnection. Let us reconnect the wires and everything will work and the electricity supply will move. That's the energy. So, but the problem is, these youth, okay, they are seeing everything as negative. Even if they go up, I mean, searching for a wife, and they have the qualities morally, spiritually, nobody will answer their supplications or their requests, because they see that he has not no money. You know, what they are expecting is, they want somebody, a director, but whether he will be Alibaba and the 40 thieves, or he will be anybody, just to bring money. The youths are just alienated. The youth see themselves as, I mean, on the margin of society. They are marginalized. So they are rebelling. That's why, in fact, most of them are going into drugs. It is an escape route from the difficulties and the problems of the day.
So that is the escapism.
In fact, it's escapism. They are using these drugs to escape the realities of time, but not knowing that they are multiplicating, or they are just complicating the same problem. Because the more you escape, you are running from the problem, the more the problem is haunting you, day in, day out.
Is it because they cannot relate it to...
No, in fact, they've been denied and deprived of proper education. They've been given information, grade 12 certificate, bachelor's degree, PhD, name it. You know, they've been given documents, but they've not been given the stuff. So this is why the Quran says, وَالْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. This is a continuous process. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, whatever is good.
So society
has to
produce these
ones. It is a collective responsibility.
To produce it.
Exactly. This is a machinery. This is a factory. The machineries are smooth and moving.
As a society.
Society is the factory. And the machineries are distance. I mean, وَيَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعَمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoining righteousness, وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, refraining people and asking them not to do evil. وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the successful ones.
So the success is coming from this.
From here, that's the base. But is it in existence in our society? You know, we have reached a level, our humanity is questionable. You know why?
No.
Somebody will tell you, no, it's my right, it's not my right. It's my right, it's not my responsibility. I mean, it's a strange, I mean, it's a philosophy. Even the devil has never, I mean, devised such a philosophy. Somebody will tell you, no, you know, people have become so much complacent. You know, evil has eaten everything dry and green on this earth.
Is it because of Bal Ra'ana Kulubihim?
Ra'ana ala Kulubihim, thank you very much. That's the most, I mean, appropriate verse that is going to fix this situation. Ra'ana ala Kulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Because what we have been doing, it has become part and parcel of our own reality. It has become a pattern and a behavior and an outlook. And it has darkened our hearts, our minds. We become coward. We cannot say the truth, but we can put our heads in the sand, even if it is hot.
Because we don't want to hear what...
Because we don't want to hear the truth. Rana ala kulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. That's the reality. So the Quran answers the question. So we pray that everybody see the light. All minds are enlightened, including myself, the first, yourself, and anybody who is listening to us. But otherwise, there is no way. I don't see any way to rescue. I don't see any way to accomplish what we want, except and until, in fact, even when we just put Islam aside, which is very universal. You like it or not, you are in the Islamic fold, because it is natural and you are natural. Let's put that aside, because somebody might say, look, it is a religious principle. But I will tell you, your own culture is a pointer and an indicator as to who you are. Take it, the best part of your culture. It tells you that you are right. It tells you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Very simple.
Okay, you are throwing at the critiques of who don't want to be categorized. But you are telling them, whatever you want to be.
Yeah, you can be.
Take what right from there.
Exactly.
And the rights are universal.
Exactly. And I'll take you another good example. Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he was bought as a slave from a market by a very powerful governor. And that governor entrusted Yusuf to his wife. But unfortunately, there was no issue between the man and the woman. Mm-hmm. So there was no child. Mm-hmm. But Yusuf, according to history and according to the story, you can just glean implicitly that the man was a handsome guy. So the woman has that, I mean, uncontrollable passion, emotionally, sentimentally. You know, he loved the man. You understand? Mm-hmm. But what happened is, Yusuf, with all the youthful, sometimes energy, we call it
with temptation,
the youthful moronic, moronic in the sense that immature. But Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ when he reached the age whereby, you know, mental or physically he was strong, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ أَعْتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We've given him the power to judge what is good and bad, وَعِلْمًا and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. In that way we reward the people of righteous deeds and intentions. So look at Yusuf. That woman set everything in place. There was, I mean, it is called the greatest strategic machination, trap set for by a woman against a man. You know, Yusuf, actually, the woman was set, determined to get the boy, by force, compulsively, to ask the boy to do what she wants. But the boy was determined to run away from the woman. Look at that. You know, Yusuf was running, you know, to the gate so that she would escape the temptation of the woman. And when the gate was open, the husband was standing there, and this husband actually became the very witness in kana qamisuhu qaddam min duburin. If the shirt, it was tore behind, you know that the woman did the crime. But if the shirt was tore in front, you know that Yusuf did the crime. Because when you are trying to force a woman, you're trying to rape a woman, there is a struggle, and a woman will try to relieve herself, will redeem herself by tearing your shirt. So look at this. So you should make sure that society has become to a level. In the Gambia, what I can understand here, well, it's very apt for me to say it loudly. Who is a Gambian? No, not a Gambian. Let me not say Gambian. Who is a human being moving with decency? And who is not a human being moving with indecency?
So you mean, how do we determine?
Exactly. Because, I mean, I and you and I, because in English they say you and I. Okay, we are, everybody has a right to walk this street. It's a public space. But you put on something that my eye, I don't want to see. But you are telling me by force, you like it or not, you're going to watch me.
You are forcing me.
I'm forcing to see you. And if I say anything against you, dress yourself, respect yourself, you just go to the law, and the law will just call me before a judge. The judge will, all that pomposity, vanity, sitting in that court thing called a courthouse, will say, look, in article something of the constitution, she has the right. What is that?
What of mine?
What of my right? So they overlook my right, and they supported her right. So they brought a conflict. This created something in my mind. At the end of the day, I become a rebel. And if Allah doesn't help me, I will end up being a terrorist. Just to satisfy
you. You know, interestingly, you mentioned this. What you call the source of this so-called constitutionalism. Yeah. Their country, they have what you call populist nuisance orders.
Yeah, they have it. But they will never apply it to this here.
I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
In the football match,
public,
you see
nuisance.
A ladies,
yeah,
will strip it completely. They will just run. The police will go and just...
They say liberty, freedom of what you want to do. But you are molesting me. You are tempting me. You are shaking my nerves. And you are just setting me on fire. But yet, it is not public nuisance. But if you walk beside their state house, they say it is loitering and public nuisance.
Indeed.
You know, it's a big contradiction.
How do we...
Allah help us.
How do we reconcile this?
We will reconcile it until and unless we say the truth, we do the truth, we see the truth, we know the truth, and we speak the truth. That's the only way.
You are invoking a very interesting... We know the truth.
We see the truth, we say the truth, we do the truth.
Do we learn the truth, or the truth is to nothing?
Well, the truth is self-evident. What you don't like people to do to you, don't do it to people. Very simple. It's a principle.
What you do not like people to be done to you?
Yeah, don't do it to the people. Very simple.
So you don't need to look for
it. You don't look. I mean, somebody might say, if I quote a verse, they say, look, that's your Quran. When I quote a Bible, it's, no, that's your Bible. But here is a simple, manifest, self-evident truth. If you don't want me to do something to you, don't do it to me. Do unto others that you would like others to do unto you. they refer it to Socrates or to, I don't know.
But it seemed to me
to one of the philosophers. But this is a self-evident truth. It belongs to no philosopher. This is a truth.
Because they found it here.
Yeah, this is no philosophy. This is a truth. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلَهَا جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلَهَا Very simple. You know, the reward for evil deeds is equally the same evil deeds. So that's the principle. Allah created the world. So this philosophy, this aphorism, this saying, it belongs to nobody. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truth is everybody's merchandise. It doesn't belong to a specific people or a person. Black man needs to rethink again. We need to break our these small heads and just build it back again.
Subhanallah, you are making a very interesting point here.
Yeah, you know.
Why do we tend to really thinking we get it from the outside?
No, the problem because we've been subjected to too much colonialism, mental slavery. Now it becomes a part and parcel, very receptive. We are the people who react.
How do we
go to them and tell them, look here, I was a slave, I want you to re-enslave me. Because it has become, in fact, your genes, our genes, in fact, I'm not trying to insult, but I'm trying to incite people to liberate them at their minds. It is not genetical, but we are just ready to just go back into that, you know, the den of the lion, for the lion to devour us. It is enough. Everything is clear, is self-evident. You don't need to go and tell me something like some India or in the Greece or Rome. As they usually say, Rome was not built in a day, but Banjul was never built in a day. Why should you give me Rome was not built in a day? Tell Banjul was not built in a day.
So this was the tools to mental colonization,
terms. Clinical mentally dead. We are clinically mentally dead. This is our problem. We are mentally dead because a dead mind will never think.
I was talking to a very interesting event. I was talking to somebody. Somebody this afternoon telling me, the former president of Guinea-Conakry, Sheikh Ahmed Touré, was talking to De Gaulle and telling him, "I rather have a starving free people than the." Giving what you call enslaved people. I rather starve with the freedom than to be.
Exactly. In fact,
I told him in that age,
that man was conscious. That man was conscious. Well, they might say we have deviated our topic. We are into politics.
Okay, but is it the truth? As you mentioned, truth.
Yeah, it's not politics. It is part and parcel of the
process. Consciousness.
You know, to help the youth to be conscious, because without consciousness, the youth will never be able to understand these realities. But in essence, what we want to tell the youth is, the truth is, you, the youths, are the backbone of society. Gambia, 60% of the population are youths. Make sure that you set your eye on a vision. Make sure that you can do whatever you want to do with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But make sure that all the necessary prerequisites are in place for you. Make sure that you endeavor as hard as you can. Nothing comes easy. Whatever comes easy goes easy. Make sure that you develop that sense of curiosity for yourself. Be a part and parcel, very active developmentally in your society. Put your mind in that arena and you will see that you are a very important, a very fruitful and a very productive element of society. Never be a consumer, but always be a producer. Never ask for your freedom, but ask for your responsibilities. When we do this and we teach the youth,
never ask for your freedom.
Yeah, but ask for your responsibilities. Your responsibilities are executed properly, automatically your freedom will come to you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees Adam, when He created Adam alayhi salam, the first thing given to Adam was freedom, because Allah is the free is the giver of freedom. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ طِينٍ. You know, the creation was done. Nobody compelled Allah to do it. And Adam was created in a very comfortable manner. So freedom was given, but the responsibility, إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, that entails and that actually qualifies Adam to enjoy some freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why a human being will slaughter a sheep to eat a sheep. Have you ever had sheep slaughtering man?
No.
So okay, our responsibility is to
even the sheep will not slaughter
exactly
another sheep.
Our responsibility is to worship Allah, and Allah has given us the freedom of killing and slaughtering the sheep and eating it.
So if we did not fulfill that responsibility, anything we are doing, we are criminals.
You will never be a free man, because you will always be a slave if your responsibilities are not done. You do your responsibility, then freedom comes your way. You know, I can recall one of Kwame Nkrumah saying, seek thy political kingdom and everything else will be added unto it. Well, that was a real truth, I mean, during the time of Kwame. But now we are given the political kingdom, and yet we are very much backward and poor. We are just going after them, knocking every European capital just for money. Then what is the importance?
What went wrong?
Well, I think because...
For you to transmit this sincere advice to the youth, what went wrong?
Yeah, the problem was because when our political kingdom was given, there was no king, but a kingdom was given. And there cannot be a kingdom without a king.
You've been given a throne.
Yeah, the people were not sensitized, conscientized,
are not prepared,
were not informed of the responsibilities that are consequent in giving you a political kingdom. It was the elite who were just controlling everything. So when the population was in complete ignorance, you know, the elite were completely controlled. So when the elites were completely eliminated, the people were in ignorance. The same man came back and colonized our minds. Very simple. So the youth should be very careful. They develop the youthful backway syndrome. They develop it. So that, you know, I'll give the youth an example. They open the gate, the floodgate for the youth to go. You know, at the end of the day, all the youths will migrate to that barren land where global warming is going to kill them, regardless of their technological advancement. So the only people left behind are the old people and the young girls. Even they are going. So when the man comes back, only the old people in the Piliano. You know, we already call Piliano. Keba Kotol. And this is what we are seeing now. So the youth has to be educated. So this is the reality. They are making history. They are reversing history. We go in there. The first going was by force, slavery. Now we go in voluntary, and they are coming back. So may Allah forbid. Allah malem be.
Shekame, as you just mentioned, it's not that this sitting will just finish the topic. It's just starting it. As we go along, we'll start dilating unit by unit on it. Because we cannot afford to leave the youths in the wilderness.
Yeah. We need to bring them out.
We need to bring them out for us to have what you call a vice journey, which has been invoked in the Quran.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us here to intercede one another.
Exactly.
So if that is the case, it needs to be a preparation. You cannot tell somebody to rule when he does not know how to rule.
Exactly.
So in that note, we will tell the greater listeners, we will stop here for now on until next week. By Allah willing, we are saying assalamu alaikum ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
رمضان وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وأنمي مالي بزكاتي أطهره برضا